live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hooray! Ooh, happy new year, everyone! Wah, wah, wah. I bet you're all hungover to death, aren't you? Hooray! Well, this is only a short little episode from me to you to say happy new year from the bottom of my pit fest I call a heart. Sincerely, it's been a great 2019 for We Need to Talk About Ghosts. And this is a very sincere little message I want to send out to you. Without you, this show does not happen. So I just want to say, hand on heart, I'm literally putting my hand over my chest as I speak. Without you, it doesn't continue. So I want to thank you. For 2020, I want the show to grow. So what I want you guys to do is to tell everyone that you know about the show. I want you to tweet, to share, to Instagram, to Snapchat, to do any other new social media craze that sweeps the nation. I want you to do that about the show. And what I will do in return is continue to love, honour, respect. It's not like I'm marrying you, but I will cherish each and every one of you, just like I have throughout 2019, because you have made the show. Thank you so much for all the stories you've sent in. I just can't thank you enough. So what I thought we'd do for this little one, I'm going to share only a very few, very quick personal stories that my late mother told me about her own paranormal experiences. So this is only going to be about 5 minutes long. If you only wanted to hear a thank you message, then you can stop it now. Bye. But if you do want to stay on the line, you're going to hear some little personal tales told by my mother. Now, these aren't written down, so they're coming from memory. So they're not going to be perfect in how my diction or anything like that. But this is just a little bonus extra to say thank you. So there's three stories that spring to mind when I think of paranormalness and my mother. The first one was when she was a young girl, when she was about six. I believe that her dad passed away and her mother had passed away when she was even younger. So it was a very sad time for her, I imagine. But apparently when she was six, her dad went off to work on the docks in Liverpool Docks. And her two sisters were bringing her up because they were older than her. And they came into the room to tell, they got news basically that he, that my granddad, had had a massive heart attack on the docks apparently and died. And they came back home to tell her. She was six at the time. And when they came into her bedroom, she was under the sheets. It was like 2 p.m. or something. But she was hidden under the sheets and she told them to get out the room. She was like, and they were like, what's wrong? You need to calm down. We've got something to tell you. And she told them, dad's died, hasn't he? And apparently, that she just knew. She just had a gift. So that's spooky story number one, which has been told and passed down. Spooky story number two is, there was always a thing about my mother. That apparently she was very in touch with her spiritual side, which is probably where I get it from, it, truth be told. But there was another one where at somebody's wedding, she was sat next to my auntie, who was her older sister. And they were just sat there talking away. And my auntie looked at my mother's face and then stared at her with a very stern expression and then slapped her out of nowhere. Yes. Sounds severe, but my auntie swears to this day that my mother's face morphed in front of her into that of their mother. That's strange, isn't it? She was like so much so that she felt compelled to just slap her. It freaked her out that badly. So that's spooky story number two. And the final spooky story is my mother never met her mother. So she died when she was exceptionally young, sadly. But my mother was in a shoe shop ages ago, just after she met my dad. And she was in a shoe shop looking at some shoes, obviously. She was looking at some shoes. And she couldn't make her mind up between these two pair of shoes. And this woman, who seemed very familiar to her, came up to her in the shop and said, like, those ones, the ones that are in your right hand, they suit you, love. They're the ones that you should go for. And my mum thought it was very strange that this woman just came up to her out of the blue and told her which shoes she should wear. And she was, oh, thanks very much. And she was thinking about getting these ones anyway. So she put the other ones back. And then she thought, you know what? That was like, who does that? Who goes up to somebody in the street and just tells them, like in the shop, and says what you should wear? So she went outside to see if she could see where this woman was. But the woman couldn't be seen. She just like disappeared off the face of the earth. And when she described the woman to my aunties, both of my aunties said it sounded exactly like her mother. I don't know, the cynic and the skeptic would say, surely, I mean, Becca said stuff like this previously, and I get it to a point, you know, surely the dead have got better things to do than to pop into shops and say, I think you'll find the kitten heel suits that particular outfit. But I don't know, there's something nice about it, isn't there? Isn't there something nice and a little bit reaffirming about stories such as that? I think there is. So there's a couple of... Oh, there's another one, actually. I've got another one. When she was a baby, they lived in a house in a state called Kirby, which is in Liverpool. And she was in bed with her cousin. They were both asleep. And there was a rocking chair in the room, as you do. And they both woke up to the rocking chair moving on its own. So they went downstairs, told the babysitter. The babysitter said she'd come and sit in the room with them because she didn't believe them. And she sat on the end of the bed whilst they both fell asleep. And they both started to drift off. And then my mother noticed the rocking chair moving, so she brought it to the attention of the babysitter, who gathered both children up, and they went downstairs. And then they called for my uncle, who came around with an Alsatian dog, and they went up the stairs to the room, and the Alsatian wouldn't go into the room. And my uncle, being a burly man of the 60s, picked up the dog by the scruff of its neck and threw it into the room, to which they heard the dog yelp like it had been kicked, and it ran past them out of the room, down out through the open front door, and was found absolutely knackered and dehydrated, like it had not stopped running, about 3 miles away. So that's a scary one about that house. One more thing as well is that the estate that they then moved to when my mum was married to my dad, it was built on the site of an old munitions factory that took a direct hit during the Second World War. So you can imagine this building was where they were building bombs and stuff, and then it was bombed. So you can imagine the explosion, like, it would have been huge. But they tarmacked over it, basically, and built a housing estate, and that's where my mum's first house was with my dad. And her neighbour that was at the back of her, she noticed, before they got speaking, she noticed that she would only do the cleaning up of a night. Like, she'd have a Hoover going at like 10 past midnight and stuff. And when they got talking a few months down the road, she asked her why she'd done it. And she basically said two reasons. One, whenever she's alone in the house and she'd be doing it, the plug would just fly out of the wall. So she could never do it. She felt really freaked out doing it alone. And two, if she'd done it at night, it kept the kids awake, and she wanted them to be awake because she was that scared. So that sounds like a fantastic place to live, doesn't it? Anywho, I just thought I'd share those personal little tales from Kevin's family of paranormal experiences as a little New Year's treat to you all. Again, I just really wanted to say thank you on the day itself, the first day of Janvier. So let's make this a bit of a tradition. I will always give you a New Year's message. Yes, like the Queen, except male and non-royal. I hope you all had a lovely one and last night, and you're on not too hungover. You're still alive. And here's to 2020. May you all have a wonderful year. And I will see you this weekend for merriment and chivalry. Chivalry? I don't mean chivalry, do I? Merriment and, I don't know, ghost stories. How about that? Because it's a bloody ghost story podcast, Kevin. Anyway, again, big thanks for last year. Looking forward to this year with all you guys. I love you all. Tatty bye.